The Arts. The Art Scene Radio Talk Show.
Welcome to episode 3 of The Arts, the Art Scene Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Radman.
And this is Smokin' Joe Racer.
Today's date is Thursday, May 6th, 2004. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, The Arts is a variety talk show dedicated to the scene, including graphics, demos, tracking, and all things in between. Somehow we've managed to release bi-monthly so far, meaning every 2 weeks, but next episode may go the direction of bi-monthly's other definition, meaning once every 2 months. We've said it before, it's basically whenever we have time, Spinsane and I, to get together and do this show and put it together for everybody. With that said, check out www.acid.org/radio for new episodes and show notes.
By the way, what was the opening music?
The opening music was Candytron, was a clip from Candytron by Farbrausch.
I guess we'll get into that later as well.
This show, we're going to be covering a few topics. As promised, we have an exclusive interview with Pfizer Wolf, member of the controversial Commodore 64 group, Metal Votes, that won first prize in the PC demo category at this year's Breakpoint. We'll also be discussing the recent art and technology conference, Nauticon, and featuring some of the highlights of the speech that Jason Scott and I delivered, entitled 100 Years of the Computer Art Scene. We'll also be covering some other current events, but first we have some emails. We've been getting a lot of supportive emails from people, including a detailed correspondence from Psychic Symphony of Scene.org. He just wanted to note, he had some notes regarding the Scene.org awards and how the results are tallied. They're basically calculated by an international jury which selects the best works from each category and then votes on them. So
they're given statues and diplomas for that?
Yep, diplomas.
I guess. I'm more interested to see what that statue looks like, if it's plastic or platinum or, you know.
Oh, I think it's solid platinum.
Yeah, probably. It's probably just the big gold bar.
So statues and diplomas are handed out by two very handsomely dressed sceners, Melwin and Steeler.
Handsomely dressed? They wanted you to say that? Or?
Yeah, they paid me to say that.
Okay.
Apparently they have some sort of after party for the VIPs and the award winners there. I think they're serving Cristal.
Cristal? All right, bling. Sounds fun.
Yeah, definitely. There's photos of the award ceremonies. You can reach those on slangpung.com.
And how do you spell that?
Oh, dude, I love spelling URLs.
Okay.
It's slengpung.com.
All right, yeah. Because if you had just heard that over the radio, you would automatically know how to spell it, you know?
Yeah, you would.
Very intuitive.
So, yeah, just hit up Slangpung and do a search for scene.org awards, and you'll be able to pull those up. P.S. also wrote in with a clarification regarding Annie's winning of the Wild Compo. In fact, he did not win the Wild Compo. He won the Real Wild Compo, and there's a difference between the two. The Real Wild Competition is a separate competition exclusively for console machines and handhelds, whereas the Wild Compo is intended for pre-rendered animations and live performance shows.
Okay. Interesting variation between the two there.
Yeah. I think he said something about nobody there was sober enough to notice the difference.
Yeah.
I don't know what he means by that.
I think that makes it the Real Wild Compo, actually.
Ricky Martin of Remorse also wrote in to note that the Farbrausch demo that we spoke about earlier, when we were commenting, like, how do they compact the music into 64K, because it sounds much cleaner than your typical chiptune or something like that. They're just utilizing speech synthesis and instrument synthesis real-time. That's how they're pulling that off. He also mentioned that Saturday Night Scener was not the only parody of the popular demo at this year's Breakpoint. The Loonies released a 4 kilobyte version of that as well, entitled Ikanim, which won first place in the 4K competition on the Amiga platform. The 4K version by Loonies, it's done in 4 kilobytes, and it looks kind of, I mean, it's clearly a parody on the popular demo, but it looks kind of like a 3D animated version of an Atari 2600 video game. I mean, it's really basic stick figure, but three-dimensional.
Right. Thanks for writing in, Ricky Martin.
Yes. I've also been receiving a lot of fan mail regarding the typing sounds that you hear on the arts show.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. People are, you know, they're writing in to inquire, what kind of keyboard do I have here in the background? You know, I just want to represent. I'm using an IBM Model M here, baby. It's 20 years old.
Nice. What kind of keyboard? I have a friend who collects those, actually, so that's how I knew what you were using.
Dude.
Yeah, I've got the stealthy keyboard. I'm actually looking at porn sites right now, and no one is the wiser.
Speaking of porn sites, I heard you had to pay for your first porn site recently.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's an end of an era. Like, I started out the computer scene because of porn. right now I'm leaving it because of all the sites going down. I can't seem to get any porn, and the clips aren't just not working, so I had to cough up the cash and get some actual movies. It's not the same, though, you know? It's just kind of sad. I shed a tear.
Yeah, that's really not right. I mean, it's good to know that our tax-paying, you know, dollars here are going towards Operation Fastlink and the busting of porn site what? Traitors?
Yeah, I guess so. Not that was the major focus of the operation.
Oh, come on, dude. You know that was the major focus of the operation.
That was the shady hand behind the actual operation. It was funded by the porn industry, not the RIAA.
Yeah, exactly. They're not being monopolized by the recording and the movie, you know, the motion picture industry here. It's porn.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what makes the world go around. Anyway, I digress. So.
Okay, so current events. We have the 2004 Mike Compo coming up, which is short for the Monthly Invitational Competition. It's put together by Novus. Looks like the voting deadline is this Saturday, May 8th.
Yeah. I actually just last night downloaded all the tracks. There's, I think, 12 or 13. Not sure offhand. I'm actually going to vote on it. It's actually a very cool concept. And according to the website, it says it's also the longest-running competition of underground art on the Internet right now, which is debatable. I'm not sure of that fact, but it's been going on for 2 years now. So very, very interesting, and there's some good music there to hear. So
yeah,
should check that out.
From what I understand, yeah, like you said, they've been running for 2 years. They used to be known as the Complete Mod Competition, and then they changed their name for some reason to the Monthly Invitational Competition. Basically, what's happening is the people who are selecting the mods out there, they're going and pulling from a variety of different mod tracking sites like ModPlug Central and Scene.org and Scene Satellite Network, S3M.com, and a lot of others. And they're pulling the best songs from that particular month and then putting them up on the Mike Compo site for everybody to listen to. I think they're selecting, like you said, 10 or 12 of the best releases from that particular month. And then everybody can go in and vote on what they thought was the best that month.
I see. I was unclear as to that because I didn't know that they were actually calling other sites. I figured there were more releases than that every month, so I had an idea that they were doing something along those lines. But
yeah, there is actually a way for people to directly submit something for consideration in the competition. But for the most part, it sounds like he's pulling from sites that he can pull down stuff that's released within, you know, a certain time frame, such as, you know, the last month's releases or something like that.
Right. Those aren't actually in MP3 format, so they're in with the .xm or .it.
Yeah, I think it's any module that will play with XM play is allowable in this competition, so that cancels out a few of the newer formats that are out. But, for whatever reason, Novus is suggesting to use XM play as the player for this particular compo. A lot of trackers out there prefer ModPlug, and so I guess that's debatable on which one is actually better than the other.
Okay. I actually use Deli Player just in case anyone needs another option. It works fine for me. I guess there's probably a plugin for Winamp or something, too, but I've heard real bad things about using it.
Yeah.
From trackers and stuff.
Yeah, any tracker will tell you that Winamp just bastardizes any true mod format out there for the most part, especially the older ones. So, yeah. Check it out and get involved. The website for that is www.novusmusic.org/MIC. Also this weekend, there's the ASCII Compo, which is organized by Dead Brain in conjunction with Thug Life. That's also taking place this Saturday, May 8th. It's a live competition where people are competing real time, and they're given a limited amount of time to compete, anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes. That's taking place on IRC in Pound ASCII Compo on EFNet. That's May 8th, I believe, 7 p.m. GMT.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. We spoke about the last one, the Easter Compo, on a previous show. People are interested in that. We got into a little more detail about it.
Yeah, are you going to get involved in this ASCII Compo, Spinsane?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. Hope a lot of people turn out.
Awesome. What else? Today, Assembly opened up their doors to advance ticket sales to the general public. So starting today, May 6th, you can purchase those tickets at assembly.org.
And the ANSI news, or the low-res news, is Sense number 19 came out a couple days ago. And the pack is available at sense.namistai.org, or as you would say, namistai.org.
I would say namistai. I wouldn't say namistai.
I like to represent Vietnam to the fullest. But anyway, and they lost their old host for, I guess, some internal group struggle with Sinister Silent.
little internal drama there.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, it happens. But, yeah, anyway, it was a good pack. It's about 2 months since they released, according to Aesthetic, who was the former leader who just handed over the reins to Avenging Angel and Maytag Man. And he would like to actually give them props for actively recruiting and keeping the group alive during, I guess, there was an interim period there where things were kind of not going so well. It looks like they definitely got things together because this is one of the best ANSI packs I've seen in a long time. It blows TNT away, I have to say it.
Yeah, I thought it was rather good. I don't know if I totally agree with you that it blew TNT away. I thought it was a very solid pack, and I'd say that maybe they might even be on par with each other, but I think there was... Well, there was that one ANSI by, who was it, Enzo and some other people with the Spider-Man. That was probably the best piece of the pack and probably beats anything that was in the TNT pack. But on a whole, I think that the quality of the TNT pack might have been slightly better.
Well, I guess that's, you know, everyone has their opinion on it. And, I'm personally more of a fan of a lot of the style that is in the Sense pack. It's a little more, like, abstract stuff, like the piece by Vil. Of like a rock star with a guitar has like some really weird coloring, and I dug it. And then the pieces by Lum are real nice, and just kind of reminded me of like older, more experimental stuff. Like whereas
yeah, there's a lot more really good experimental art, whereas TNT was, you know, I think almost exclusively comic rips, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess it's just a preference. I'm not as into comic rips, but I like seeing people do original pieces. Not that either is bad, of course. They're all awesome. Anyway, it was a great pack, so.
Yeah, I agree. Sense 19 was pretty kick-ass. Well, let's see. On the party calendar, there's a lot of demo parties that are coming up. There is more to life than just Assembly and Breakpoint. Coming up rather quickly here, May 28th to 30th in Turku, Finland, is the Motorola Inside Party, which is organized by Brightlight.
That's Ricky Martin's brother, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Brightlight. Shout out to Turku, Finland.
Yeah, it's an Amiga-only party, though, so it's... You know, it's going to be a relatively smaller party for people who are in the Amiga scene, specifically.
It's 3 days long?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's 3 days long, and they're probably going to have a lot of different vendors for people who still have Amiga hardware on the premises.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be pretty cool. Let's see, what else? The 10th annual Remedy demo party is coming up. That's going to be taking place in Stockholm, Sweden, June 24th through 27th. Symphony after that, July 8th through 11th in Poznan, Poland. And August is going to be an extremely busy month. You have Assembly in Finland, Boensley in Switzerland, and Evoke in Germany, all taking place one after another.
Nice. So, I guess they people in Europe can just hop around on the train system and hit all those different parties up.
Yeah, I guess if you lived in Europe, you could conceivably, you know, take the train and hit them all up in 1 month.
I'm assuming they're not on conflicting weekends or anything.
No, not at all. You could conceivably hit all of these parties within a month. Ojuice.net has an entire section online dedicated to upcoming demo parties. There are over 36 additional parties that are listed there that will take place before the end of this year.
Damn. Yeah, that's like one a week.
It's getting pretty late in Germany, so let's give Pfizer Wolf a call.
Sure, sounds good.
Okay. Okay, we have Pfizer Wolf, a member of Metal Votes, on the phone.
Hello, yeah, I'm here. This is Pfizer Wolf from Metal Votes, all right?
Cool. So now, what is your current involvement with Metal Votes right now?
Yeah, I'm a coder on the C64 and a musician on PC and the C64, so I'm doing some SIDs and, I'm doing some coding on C64 mainly.
When did you first join Metal Votes? How did you come to get in the group and get into the scene and all of that?
Yeah, the first party I attended to was the Mecha Symposium in 1998, and that's when I met those guys and we became friends. So I think shortly after that I've joined them. I just can't remember really, but, I thought these guys are crazy and, they are just my type, so I joined them.
So, yeah, Metal Votes does a lot of crazy, kind of wild or joke type of demos. Are there any demos that have been produced by Metal Votes that are more serious, I guess you could say?
Well, I don't know. We had some more or less serious stuff on Commodore C64. before, but in all productions, there was something, adult stuff in it. I mean, I think this PC demo now was one of our most serious productions ever.
How many of your members ended up going to this year's Breakpoint?
This year? Quite a few. I think it was only one member missing, Syntax, but Bitbreaker was there. I mean, Final Conflict was there, Drago and Ragnarok, so we were quite complete this year because we celebrated our 10 years scene and anniversary, so this was a great party for us.
Excellent. What was your general impression of this year's Breakpoint party?
Oh yeah, we loved it. I mean, we've been at the Mecca Symposium parties before, and now we have Breakpoint. This is absolutely 100% pure. Scene spirit, I would say. I mean, I watch these DVDs with reports from assembly and stuff, but I think I would not like to exchange that to the Breakpoint experience. I mean, this is pure scene. We love it.
What were your expectations after viewing some of the other competing PC demos at Breakpoint? Did you expect that Winter Demo would come out on top?
No, we never expect that. Okay, we named it Winter Demo and stuff and put all these graphics in it, but this was just plain fun, you know. We never expected to be, on any party number one, you know. This was a big surprise for us, as for the rest of the scene. But, you know, Metal Fotze means, you know, the word Fotze means in German to give someone a slap in the face, and I think we've done that this year. We didn't know why and how, but some of the people voted for us. So it was a great surprise for us as well.
Clearly it was the popular choice at Breakpoint, so, I mean, the people, you know, spoke through the voting. You know, some people maybe don't seem to have a sense of humor about things, whereas the people at Breakpoint got it.
Yeah, I don't know. Afterwards, we had some discussions with the PC sceneists. You know, we're just outsiders to the PC scene, and then we came and somehow the people voted for us. But I think the point is that we, amused the sceneists. You know, they were bored with the other productions somehow. So I hope we've set a sign here. I mean, that the demos have to be, I mean, not as technical advanced as they have been, but, you know, more fun, just to give a laugh.
I guess what you strove to do, or what you did do, is combine the entertainment aspect above and beyond what the other people did, whereas other people might have just shown technical mastery where...
I think we have. I mean, we heard here and there that our demo is technical, you know, crap and everything, but we don't care. I mean, we just want to have fun. I mean, this is the main philosophy, if there is any, behind Metal Fotze. I mean, we just want to have fun and show the people the scene spirit, just friendship and fun. That's everything we call the scene, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Why do people go to demo parties? It's for camaraderie and to, you know, share some good times with people that you've been talking to over the internet forever.
Yeah, to meet them and to, you know, at all these parties we do some barbecue and stuff and boozing and, you know, we like this stuff. Just to meet the people and, you know, not just by, you know, chatting with them over the IRC or whatever, but to really meet them and talk to them. About, you know, not only computer issues, but, you know, what do they do, how do they live in the real life and stuff. You know, that's really what makes the friendship. That's why we go there. I mean, that's just the fun, you know.
Did you guys have an opportunity to meet any, you know, make any new friends there or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me personally, I meet many new interesting people there, and spontaneously, two very good friends joined us after this success. in Winter Demo, we don't know if they would have done without the success there. I think so, but, you know, we just meet friends at all the parties we go to.
What sort of production work went behind Winter Demo to create the vocals and the soundtrack to Winter Demo?
Bitbreaker asked me to do some hip-hop, so I made the beats and stuff in a studio I have with some friends of mine here. And, you know, the chorus, "We have computers, which can beat your computers," just came to my mind while being on the bathroom someday. So I was always in close contact with the other Metal Force members over the internet, and so we all did the rest of the lyrics together. Yeah, I think the thing we liked best about that chorus was that somehow it sounds childish, but unmistakably. It's not about who can code or design better, but just that we have the better machines, you know. That's all the point.
Who were the people that did the vocals? Was it just one person that did the vocals for
Yeah. Well, I wrote the music and stuff, and then I just asked two friends of mine to sing along with me. So we are three people here. We call ourselves the Amaretto Gangsters. You know, this is just two friends of mine here.
Very cool.
Yeah, well, I was actually wondering if you have a favorite demo that you've coded in the past, or a favorite Metavotes production, perhaps.
I don't know. I just think making this PC demo was plenty fun. I mean, I like coding on the C64 a lot, but this was something completely new, so I think I like this best, yeah?
Okay.
That's a good point. Do you see, in the future, more PC demos coming from Metavotes?
Well, we thought about that, and people ask us, but I don't know, maybe just minor productions. We'll stay on the C64, and now we have a member who can do some Game Boy Advance stuff. We'll just do that. I mean, we'll just try everything, but we'll stay a C64 group.
Cool. All right, Pfizer Will. Thank you very much for being a part of our show.
Yeah, that was a pleasure.
Take care.
All right, see ya.
Okay, well.
I think that interview with Fieserwolf went really well.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to it?
I thought it was pretty good. Seemed like a nice guy. It was interesting to see someone with the... Well, I'm sure everyone has the mindset who's in the scene of looking at it as something to do for fun. Because, you know, even the metal votes might take it to a further step and get a little more kooky than some other groups. I think everyone's in it for the fun, but it was interesting to talk to them.
Yeah, I think people maybe have the wrong impression of the group, and I think it was, you know, they're basically just like everybody else. They're pretty down-to-earth people.
Well, they come across as Satanists.
I think they come across as pornographers. I don't know what you mean by Satanists.
Well, I was just looking at some of the pictures from their demos on the front of their site. It seemed pretty evil. Maybe it was porn. Maybe I got it mixed up.
Yeah, porn's not evil, dude. There's nothing wrong with porn.
Well, it depends on the porn. You should see some of the stuff I watched today. Just kidding.
All right. Well, what else? We got to cover past events as well. Of course, the Nauticon conference took place a couple weeks ago in Cleveland, Ohio, April 23rd to 25th. It was a conference dedicated to art and technology, which was put together by Froggy. He threw that conference together to fill the void that was left behind by Rubicon. From what I understand, they had to cancel Rubicon because they were just basically banned from every hotel in Detroit.
That'll teach them to throw an event in Detroit.
Fortunately, the Nauticon event went very smoothly. I read from some of the party reports, I think somebody said that even though this was their first con, it ran like it was their second. You know, they really had their act together, and they were on top of things at all times. And they did a really good job organizing it. Approximately 200 people attended this first year.
Not too bad.
Yeah. I got to meet some of the Apartment 103 crew, too, as well. I got to meet the Trank ASCII founder, Houdini, and ASCII artist, Chex.
Yeah, shout out to Chex.
Used to be a part of the Apartment 103 crew, right?
I'm still sort of affiliated with it in a way. I never actually lived there. Of course, Apartment 103 was the apartment that Houdini, Chex, and...
Colitis, right?
Was it Colitis?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that must have been one ASCII pimping household. I'm sure they had some great times there.
what did he say? I think it was Chex who was saying that, you know, the intention was, in theory, for it to be the ultimate ASCII art. You know, they wanted to do, like, the real world for ASCII artists.
Yeah.
But it just never worked out that way. It turned out to be more like the real world for alcoholics.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've seen some webcam stuff from there, too. It's been some interesting stuff there. That was a good site when it was up. It used to be a community weblog as well type thing. But anyway, so you got to meet them.
Yeah, Chax and Houdini were really cool. We got to go out to some Italian dinner at, I don't remember what the name of the place was. It was like Frankie and Polly's or something like that. And, you know, it's family style. You order one serving of spaghetti and it serves 12 people.
Right.
Yeah.
That's always the best.
Yeah, it was kick-ass. Our 100 Years of Computer Arts scene speech had a pretty strong turnout. The room was rather packed.
Yeah, it was actually, not to interrupt, but I was wondering, I know a lot of conferences hold multiple conferences or, you know, presentations at one time.
Right.
Was at Nauticon, was there just one at a time, or were there a couple, or?
Nauticon was a three-track conference, so there could be up to two or three speeches going on at the same time.
Okay.
But I think at most they only had two scheduled at the same time, and then maybe a third event type of thing, but not necessarily a speech.
Okay. I was just curious about that. Didn't want to interrupt your flow, though.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, so it had a good turnout. One of the audio samples, which we were unable to play during our talk due to the fact that it was streaming real audio or real media clip, we now have. We fixed that problem. It's a clip of the first song to be reproduced by a non-human voice with an IBM 7094 computer, which was made in 1961, and it was of Daisy Bell.
He's got to work with. And so you look at it, once you realize this, and I mean, it's a case in art, sometimes you need the information that goes with it. Like, oh, that sounds pretty good. Oh, yes, but he did it using a calculator. Oh, then it's really good. This, you know, the actual use of the technology changes the quality of the art in your mind once you become aware of it.
Yeah, we actually received some feedback regarding that speech or presentation that we gave. Somebody wrote me to say that he actually played this speech for his girlfriend in order to, I guess, help articulate what it is that he's doing in all of his spare time or not so spare time.
Oh, nice. I actually loaded it up for my girlfriend as well, so it's teaching the fairer sex about the nerdly art of ASCII.
Yeah, what'd she think of it?
She actually thought it was cool as hell. I actually liked it a lot how you guys tied in the whole teletype and Morse code and all that stuff. It was very interesting. It was very well done, very academic, also very entertaining.
Well, thank you. Very good speech. Yeah, I guess, you know, all in all, the conference turned out really well. We had a chance to meet a lot of new people, and there was a 10K taking place there.
Oh, yeah?
So it was rather spur of the moment, unplanned. decided to see what would happen if I stayed up really late, woke up really early, and partook in some festivities the night before, and then see how that would affect my running performance.
How did it affect it?
And indeed it did.
Did you end up vomiting?
No, nothing like that. I'm sure there were people vomiting that night, though.
Right.
I'm very sure. But, no, it, you know, I think it tacked on a good solid 3 minutes to my time. I think I've achieved my worst time ever.
Wow.
By doing that. But, you know, that's probably the only way I would ever drink before a race anyways, if it was totally unplanned and spur of the moment like that.
Right. I'm sure that's not on your training regimen.
Yeah. Now I know. I've proved it. It's just, it doesn't help.
Yeah. You did it for science, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah, so afterwards, after the conference wrapped up, Jason Scott and I made the trip from one end of Ohio to the opposite one and had a chance to meet up with Ebony Eyes. Ebony Eyes has been referred to as the queen of ANSI art.
Ooh, what about Kitiara?
Kitiara? Well, she came in much, much later. Like, God, I think after the mid-90s, right?
Yeah, mid-90s.
Ebony Eyes got her start in the late 80s.
Wow.
So she started spreading her ANSIs around via the World War IV message networks.
Right.
What was it? I think she had drawn something to the tune of several hundred ANSIs before she retired from the scene.
She doesn't have to settle for being the queen. She can be the king with that kind of output, you know. Dominating. That's a lot of art.
Yeah, it is. She's a very popular artist during her time, and so... we had a chance to interview her for the BBS documentary that Jason Scott is doing, and then later on had dinner with her. It was pretty nice.
Was she actually around after the art group started up? Was she a member of any art groups? Was she an ACID or?
No, she was
BBS
not.
Thing?
She was still drawing ANSI in the very early 90s. I believe that she retired sometime around 92.
Okay.
So right as the art packs as a format started to emerge was pretty much when she was fading out from things.
Okay.
But she was very aware of the art groups that were present at that time.
Actually, do you have a link to the Nauticon speech for the listeners to download?
Yes, there is. There are two places where you can download our presentation speech. The first place is www.cow.net/cond/Nauticon/artscene. You can also pick it up from www.asa.org/images/Nauticon04. And there you will find several different encoded versions of the speech. We have it as low as, I think, 24 kilobits per second and as high as 320 and several versions in between. I really recommend for this particular speech picking up the, at a bare minimum, picking up the 128K version of it. It's about 47 megs, and it's recorded in stereo. We do make use of a lot of sound clips and such. It's kind of cool. You can actually hear both Jason Scott and I kind of moving around the room. So if you're wearing headphones, you kind of have that immersive experience.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I actually listened to the 24 meg version.
The 64K?
Yeah.
Encoded version?
And that sounded pretty good. I mean, I'll check out the higher one, but I just wanted to get it real quick to get it into the car.
Yeah, the 64K version, these were all encoded with LAME 3.97.
Yeah.
And the 64K version it's decent, you know. Obviously, there's going to be some quality degradation there, but it is good enough if you don't have a broadband connection. I don't really recommend the 24K encoded version, though.
Right.
Let the download run overnight. You know, check it out. Make sure it's something you're interested in, maybe, with the 24K version, and then get something higher quality than that.
Yeah, especially with the demo music in it, it probably makes a pretty big difference. Like, because that music is phenomenal, especially Candytron at the end.
Exactly.
Like, when you guys put that on, it turned my car into a rave.
Yeah, it actually picked up the sound rather well. I was pretty impressed.
Yep.
By the sound system that they had there to record that. There's also a transcription available for those who, you know, would prefer to grab that. I know that there's a few people in the scene that are hearing impaired. So there's a full transcription of the speech that was prepared by Ghostwriter. And I'm sure that took him a long time.
Yeah.
That's available as well at the same two sites. You can easily find that if you want to grab that.
For all you plagiarists out there.
Yep. So what do you think of the printer music?
I thought that was pretty fucking cool. What more can I say? Especially, what was the first one? I know the second one was Blue Danube.
Yeah, there was the Blue Danube and Raindrops Are Falling on My Head. Something we didn't mention in our last show was the Gathering demo party, which also took place April 7th through 11th, and it overlapped the Breakpoint demo party. For those that aren't familiar with the Gathering, it's one of the largest demo parties in the world. Last year, they had over 5,200 visitors attend. Unfortunately, the figures for the 2004 attendance were not immediately available, so I don't have those handy. They had a lot of really great entries there, and they also seem to have a rather intense Dance Dance Revolution competition there.
I see. You're a fan of that, aren't you?
Yeah, I've done a little DDR in my time.
Can't say I've ever played it. I save my moves for the dance floor and the bedroom. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's cool. So I guess they had a bunch of the actual arcade machines set up, or?
Yeah, it looked like in this particular case, it looked like they had the real machines there. I know some of the smaller parties just, you know, pick up probably a PS2 and a dance mat or a dance pad, but this looked like they had the real deal. And
I was actually wondering how you play it on PS2. I guess there's like the track, the old NES track and field thing that you could run on.
Yeah, it's improved a little bit since then, but yeah, it's basically the same concept for the console machines. You have your choice of this dance mat. You know, there's different dance mats that you can purchase.
Right, okay.
And then if you really want to spend the big bucks, you can buy these dance platforms, which really aren't that much better, even though they cost about five times more.
Do those have, like, the handrails and stuff?
No, they don't, but they're like a raised, solid platform rather than a foamy material.
Okay.
So it's like a hard plastic platform. Like, I've seen them before, and they're not that great. It's kind of like gigantic buttons that you have to jump on, and they kind of click. So they're more tactile feeling than the true Dance Dance Revolution floor. You'd have to be there.
Right.
But, I think from what I read, people traveled from various parts of Europe just to compete in this competition. It's getting pretty big there at the Gathering.
Wow. I'll reserve judgment.
Okay. They had some really good competitions. They had some really good demos that were entered in the competitions. In the top three combined demo competition in order, there was Our Demo by Outrax, and there was also Pornographic by INF. Did you have a chance to check out Pornographic?
No.
No?
It crashed my computer.
It crashed your entire computer?
Well, no, it wouldn't load the graphics. It popped up with some kind of error message, and I just ran it anyway. I got to listen to the music, but the graphics were all foobarred, so.
What kind of video card do you have again?
GeForce 2.
How old is that, baby?
Several generations old. It was donated to me. It was an upgrade from my TNT that I had.
Would you have a TNT Riva?
Yeah.
It looks like it's time for you to get another upgrade.
Yeah, the problem is I don't use the graphics card for anything besides these demos. I don't know if I can justify the cost right now, but...
Oh, of course
I'm sure I could upgrade for pretty cheap anyway, but...
Demos alone would justify the most expensive video card out there. Since Pornographic wouldn't run on your demo, I'll just tell you about it. Well, you've heard it.
Yeah.
It was actually a very well put together demo.
Was it Pornographic?
Pornographic? I don't know. I personally think that it could have won first place had it not been such a, you know, blatant bite off of the popular demo. It seems like the trend right now is to kind of borrow from that retro 70s style that popular demo set forward. You know, it was really good, but had popular demo not existed, let's just put it that way, it probably would have won first place.
Well, shoot, I hope a demo calling itself Pornographic didn't borrow too much from the 70s theme.
It had a nice pancake recipe in there. You could have appreciated that.
Man, really? I've been looking for a new recipe to spice up my pancakes.
And then the closing sample. Yeah, the closing sample is really what made it.
I guess I should not have closed it after about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a really good way to wind down the demo there.
Perfect ending. Money shot.
Really, I don't know why I didn't win.
Yeah, I didn't really like Our Demo that much. graphically was pretty nice, but like Feisterwolf was talking about earlier, it just didn't seem entertained like as much, you know? I didn't get to see pornographic, so I can't compare them.
Yeah, our demo, I liked it. I thought it was good. I liked the dizzying domino scene that they had there. It was kind of humorous, you know, it's, I don't know, it's kind of geek humor there, you know, with the flashing, this is not edible or whatever it said, you know, owned when the dominoes started falling. And
yeah, this is not real water.
Right.
Pre-calculating is for pussies, stuff like that.
Yeah, pre-calculating for pussies, that, you know, that kicks ass. That's why it won.
Right on.
Right there. You say pre-calculating is for pussies? Instant money. That trumps ripping off the popular demo.
Yeah, I don't know, though, like, come on my face. That's a push. That's a close call. I wonder how close the voting was. Probably neck and neck.
Yeah, I think it was a tight competition, dude. Hog by Spaceballs was also a very good demo, which was entered in the combined competition. So combined meaning that both the IBM PC and the Amiga PC were competing in the same category.
Oh, okay.
So Hog was an Amiga demo by Spaceballs, which had a really nice dark ambiance to it. For those of you without an Amiga 1200 handy, there's a DivX AVI version which is available on scene.org, or you can just grab a copy of WinUAE at winuae.net, and that was a very nice demo.
Yeah, I agree. It was awesome.
I really think that the crowning release at the gathering was the amazing 64 kilobyte demo which was entered there, entitled Nemesis, put together by XS and Kavaskin. Nemesis was really on par with some of the better 64 kilobyte demos that I've seen. I mean, it was definitely on the level, I think, in my personal opinion, I think it was definitely on the level of some of the better Farbrausch 64K demos that have been coming out.
That's pretty high praise.
There were also some really fantastic high-quality music entries, which was an open competition for music in the MP3 and OGG formats, so basically the non-tracked music. First place was awarded to 30,000 and Counting by Flipside. Was awarded to Illumina by Edzes. To RR Plastic by Domine. Information on this, you can always go to www.gathering.org or scene.org as well, which will take you there, and that's where you're going to find all of these downloads anyways.
Could you spell those Earls for me?
No. I'm not spelling that for you, dude.
All right, thanks. nothing. Anyway, go on.
For nothing. What? I heard you got some spam lately, something about project30.com.
Yeah, which is interesting because I never get any, you never get any good spam, you know, like, but this is actually pretty interesting. I don't know how the hell I got it, but it's basically not too related to the digital computer art scene, but it is an online gallery run by artists, and quoting their website, designed to expose artists to brick-and-mortar art galleries which may be interested in presenting their work. So basically what they do is they select a bunch of artists for exhibits, and some of the art is really pretty good. I was checking it out. A lot of online art galleries that I do check out, that whether they're digital or actual physical media, there's a lot of crap out there. Not to be too judgmental, but there's a lot of wheat to cut through, or whatever, a lot of chafe to pull from the wheat, or whatever. And this one actually seemed like it was mostly high quality, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Just something to find. You know, you usually just don't find random stuff like that in email, so that was cool.
So it looks like they're taking, what, art that's based in technology and bringing it into real-world galleries or something like that?
I guess what they're doing is they're having the artists submit pictures of their work. There are sites that actually will have artists submit actual physical pieces of work and then sell them for you, but I believe what this one is doing is they put up high-quality pictures of the artist's work, and then they give you a link to contact the artist. The prices aren't actually discussed on the website. I think it's mostly for exposure. I'm sure most of these artists that I saw in there when I was digging around, I'm sure most of them have actually sold a bit, and they're probably fairly successful. Can't really speculate too much on it, but
yeah. On a related note, did you hear about the record that was set last night on the Picasso painting?
No, I did not.
The 1905 painting Boy with a Pipe sold for $142 million at the Sotheby's auction house. I'm wondering when the Spinsane ASCII is going to break that record.
Break it. $142 million. Private. Let me just say the $142 million, that I'm out of that league by far. My works command far more. They command that per line. Anyway, I have one more thing I'd like to actually discuss, too. The Demo Vibes CD.
What's up with that?
Well, basically, it's something I found off planetd.net. Well, planet-d.net, I should say. It's a mixed compilation of demo music, and it's put into, you can download either the individual tracks, or you can get the cue sheet and the MP3 and actually burn it to CD, and it's mixed by Willby. He does a good enough job, considering that a lot of the tracks are, like, very unrelated in theme.
Goes through some sort of an effort to, like, beat match all the tracks and
yeah,
mix
yeah,
together.
He does. I mean, and for the most part, I mean, it's acceptable mixing. It's not, I don't think that's the main focus of it. It's very interesting. It's got a lot of different genres of demo scene music, and it's actually quite good. So anyone can get that at willby.planet-d.net/demovibes.htm. It's a free download. So
can you spell that URL for me, dude?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you spell that URL for me?
Yeah, actually, you want me to?
No.
Okay.
I think we should just start forcing people to Google for stuff.
That's a good idea.
Google is your friend. So what else is going on? Has your cat read any good books lately?
No. No, he hasn't. He's actually fucking opening doors right now as we speak and causing a background ambience. It's kind of distracting me. But, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess that's a wrap then, right? Anything else, dude?
Shouts out to Sir Garbage Truck. I'd also like to shout out the local Tampa 2600 meeting, which will be having its inaugural meeting tomorrow.
Okay, so to close out the song, we're going to play for you the Blue Danube Waltz. It's going to be a remix version based on the 1403 Printer song by Ron Mack, remixed in with an actual orchestra.
Oh, wow. Later.
Cool. Later, dude. Thank you.
this concludes the recording session. See you next time.
The Arts.